We are going to look this morning at this theme of prayer. Lately, we've been going through a series of why we do what we do. And prayer, I feel like I struggle to stand here and tell people how to pray. One, everyone, I assume, knows what prayer is. And I would never claim to be a great prayer warrior. And I will probably potentially end up being too honest and telling you all of my faults instead of actually preaching God's word to you. And I will endeavor not to do that. Prayer is a wonderful gift that we have. And that's something to keep in our minds. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Corrie ten Boom once asked, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer the thing that guides and directs you? Is prayer central to everything you are? Is prayer possibly one of the most important things? Or is it something you stick in the boot and it's there occasionally when you need it and you hope to be able to rely on it, but you can't actually because it kind of might be flat? Prayer should be the central thing to our life. Prayer should be the most useful, the strongest thing we have. Prayer is nothing new. We read of prayers from the moment the world was created. Adam and Eve were in direct conversation with God time and time again, whether being punished, whether just walking with him in the garden. In Genesis chapter 15, we read of Abraham conversing with God. We read of Hannah at the temple praying so much because she wanted a child, so fervently that Eli thought that she was drunk. We read of answers to that prayer as well, don't we? As Samuel is born and then dedicated to the temple. David prayed, and we are blessed to have many prayers of David written down and written down in the book of Psalms. David prayed prayers of joy. David prayed prayers of repentance. David prayed. And it was something the early church did as well. And that verse that we've looked at various times over the last few weeks, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we read this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The early church were devoted to praying. This is a bit of an aside, but it's interesting that it says they're the prayers, and that makes you think whether they used set prayers a bit more than maybe we do. Maybe they were praying through Scripture. But we know that the early church were devoted to praying. And you see through the book of Acts wonderful results of prayer. What happened when Peter was in prison? The church gathered a few streets away and prayed. And it's something too that Jesus told us to do. And it's something that Jesus gave us a great example of in Matthew chapter 6. So this morning as we think of prayer, I'd like to think about why we pray. I'd like to think about how we pray, what we can pray for, about, and when we should pray. So firstly, why do we pray? Very often prayer is seen as a shopping list of divine requests. It's pray for this, 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 and this, and then I'm done. Very often, and we get it too, we as churches, we send out prayer requests, one a month, I think it is, and I haven't seen one for a couple of weeks, but very often they're lists of things that we're doing some building work, we're doing an evangelistic event, and they're very good things to pray for. And very often in my mind, prayer can be a list of things that I want God to do, or I hope God does, or things that I need help with. It can become this sort of divine shopping list almost. But that's not what prayer really is. If you read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, as we read earlier, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God already knows what we need. God knows what we're about to ask him for. So if our prayer is just a list of requests, he knows everything that we already need anyway. Later, we will look at how it's not a bad thing to ask for things. But that's not what prayer is, just this shopping list, a Christmas list, if you will. One of the reasons we pray is that Jesus did. Jesus is a great example to us in so many ways, isn't he? And we can read of Jesus taking time to go aside to pray. We read of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read him in various secluded places praying. And the amazing thing is that Jesus is God. There is no separation between the Trinity, and yet he still took time to pray to God the Father. So how much more important must it be for us to spend time in prayer? As people, we enjoy conversing with those that we're closest to. We enjoy telling people our news. I had my dad round yesterday for tea, and I didn't just sit and say, "Dad, I want this, I want this, I want an Xbox, I want all of these things." That's not how the conversation went. Probably did when I was 12 years old, but that's not how the conversation goes. The conversation is broad. He is someone that I like to speak to, like to converse with, like to share about my life. And that's more what prayer should be with us and God. God should be close to us. God should be close in our hearts. So therefore, we should just be hoping to spend time in conversation with him. It's difficult because sometimes we realize we don't always hear God speaking directly back at us. Maybe we should incorporate time to listen for God's responses as part of our prayer. But prayer should be much more of a conversation between us and God. If you read through the book of Job towards the end of it, you find almost a back and forward. It seems like a verbal back and forward between God and Job and some of the others. Prayer isn't just a list of demands. It's a real conversation with a loving heavenly Father. As part of prayers, we have some wonderful opportunities, and I'd just like to look at four different places. Firstly, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 to 7. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7, we read this. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Why do we pray? Well, prayer is a wonderful opportunity to take our anxieties, our worries, our doubts, our fears, our insecurities to God. We're to humble ourselves. The opposite of humility really is pride. To hold all of those things to ourselves is pride. To not accept that we have difficulties is pride. We are to humble ourselves before God and accept that we have some struggles, that we have some difficulties. Take them to him in prayer. It's a wonderful opportunity to do that. It's a wonderful opportunity because he cares for you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says this. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we take our doubts, as we take our anxieties to God, we can be filled with a sense of peace, knowing that someone far greater than us has things at hand. I'm sure we all have worries. I'm sure we all have things that we are concerned about. Prayer is a wonderful opportunity for us to take things to God, to seek his peace. Why else do we pray? Well, we pray to surrender ourselves to God's will. A great example of this is obviously with Jesus towards the end of his ministry in Matthew 26 and verse 42. Verse 39, "Going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Verse 42, "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this can be done, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Christ submitted himself to the Father's plan. Prayer is a wonderful opportunity for us to do that. I was once told that the most dangerous thing you can pray is your will be done, because you never quite know where it's going to lead. And humanly, it could be an incredibly intimidating thing. Your will be done. What is it that God wants us to do? And are we submitting ourselves to his plan? The other reason that we pray, and it was mentioned in that song that we just had, which is why I picked that song, You Are My Anchor, is to be in God's presence, to dwell in his house. Psalms 27 and verse 4 says this. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We should have a great desire to be closer and closer to God, to dwell in his house. And how can we do that? Spend time with him in prayer. So if that's why we pray for a conversation, we pray to get closer to God, we pray to humble ourselves, to seek peace, we pray to surrender ourselves to God's will. The next question is, how can we pray? How should we pray? I think possibly if we're asking that question, we might be thinking too hard. Romans 8 verse 26 tells us that basically, I'm not going to turn to it, even if you don't have the words, just simple groanings. The Spirit helps you through your groanings. It doesn't matter how we pray. It doesn't matter what we do. God knows what's on our hearts. So don't think too hard about it. But in Matthew chapter 6, we're given two ways not to pray, definitely. Verse 5 says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And the first thing I do every time I read that word is panic, because we have prayer meetings where we pray publicly. I stand at the front of church and pray loudly. Well, not loudly, but you know, I pray audibly. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about is a group of people that were going to the synagogues. And as they were going to the synagogues, they were stopping on the street corners and praying loudly to show everyone how holy and devout they were. What was their reward for that? Well, their reward was other people's admiration. Other people thought they were great. What are we told to do? Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, we read of prayer meetings, churches gathering together to pray throughout Scripture. We read of Jesus praying in public. The difference is that they weren't done for human adoration. They were done with a desire to be closer to the Father and to submit to his will. We don't pray for people's glory. We don't pray so people think we are wonderfully eloquent. We pray in conversation with our Heavenly Father. And that's the difference. We don't need to stand on the street corners showing everyone how wonderfully wise and theologically sound we are through our prayers. Wherever we pray, whether that's in public in a prayer meeting, whether that's in church, we just need to remember that we're praying to our Father in heaven. We're also told in verse 7, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." We're not to make our prayers longer just for the sake of it. We're not to set ourselves a 15-minute timer and pray for the three things that are on our mind and then keep doing it because we feel we have to. It might be that the Spirit leads us to keep repeating the same thing, and that's different because they're not vain and empty words. We can pray for things time and time again. And actually, if you look at the parable of the persistent widow, she goes time and time again to that corrupt judge. And the point is that if you ask for mercy, even from a corrupt judge, the corrupt judge will give it. Eventually, God would give it so much more. But the picture is of this repeated prayer, this repeated request. Repeated requests aren't a bad thing in themselves, as long as we're not doing it just because we think we have to. We don't need to pad out our prayers to God just because we think we have to fill a certain amount of time. We don't need to use empty phrases that mean nothing. We are to pray sincerely. We're to pray with meaning, not to prove our intelligence, not to prove how many words we have, but again, as part of a conversation with our loving Father. I remember growing up, and I'm genuinely not criticizing anyone at all, but I remember growing up in churches, going to prayer meetings, and hearing people pray as part of open prayer meetings. And I was intimidated by the words they used. They were far longer than the words that I commonly used. And I thought, I used to sit in prayer meetings as a teenager and think, I'm not clever enough to pray here. This isn't for me. But actually, that's not true at all. Because no matter what prayer I prayed, as long as it was sincere, as long as it was to my Heavenly Father, it didn't matter whether I used 10 words or 1,000 words. It didn't matter if every word had 3 letters or... I was going to go for 30, but I can't think of any words with 30 letters. But you get the point, don't you? It doesn't matter. We're praying to God the Father. So, what can we pray about? Well, Jesus gave us a wonderful example of a prayer, and we can. I don't see a problem with repeating the Lord's Prayer, as long as it's not vain and empty and meaningless. But we don't have to just pray the Lord's Prayer, but it can be a pattern for our prayers. What do we find in the Lord's Prayer? From verse 8 through to verse 13 of Matthew chapter 6 there. We find praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Glory be to you. How can we praise God? Well, first of all, just look around and see the wonderful things that God has done for you. Look back and see the wonderful things that God has done for you. If you're still struggling for inspiration, go to the Psalms. Find Psalm 19 and pray through the words of that psalm. There are so many things to praise God for. And we need to recognize that all good things are from God, and therefore He is worthy of our praise. So we find praise. That's one thing that we can pray about as part of our conversation with our loving Heavenly Father. Secondly, we can give thanks. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread, which sounds in itself like a request. But if you remember earlier on, we're told your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Therefore, give us this day our daily bread, I think stands for yes, asking for things we need, but also recognizing that God's already going to give them to us. Thank God for those things that He gives us. Thank God for the forgiveness that He gives us. As we read in verse 12, forgive us our debts. We know that God has already forgiven us our sins. So we can thank Him for those things. We can pray for forgiveness. As it says there in verse 12, forgive us our sins. We know from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says this. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. The greatest thing we need is forgiveness for the sins in our life. There's nothing we need more. It's the only thing that can lead us to an eternal life is to have received forgiveness for the times we have offended God. Therefore, the greatest thing to pray for is surely forgiveness. We can approach God knowing, because His Son died upon that cross, that if we approach Him asking for forgiveness, that He will forgive us and He will welcome us into His family with open arms. We don't need to pray for forgiveness in a certain way. We don't need to use the right words. We just need to be trusting that God will forgive us. We can also spend time taking our requests to Him. It does say in verse 11 there, give us this day our daily bread. It says in verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. They are requests. They are things that you are requesting of God the Father. It's not a bad thing to pray for certain things to happen. But what we do have to accept is that they will only be answered with a yes if they are within his will. And that can be a difficult thing to stomach sometimes. And so many people will come at you with and quote something along the lines of, what's the point in praying? God never answers my prayers. But what people are actually saying when they use a phrase like that is, what's the point in praying? God doesn't give me exactly what I want when I ask it of him. And that's a very different thing. God is far wiser than any of us. He's infinitely wiser and he knows what's best for us. But he also knows what's going to build us up when we struggle. So it may be that we are going through a time of testing and we're praying for a way out of it and it just doesn't happen. But God is using those times to strengthen us. He knows what's best. But we can still take our requests to him as long as we accept that they may not be answered in the way that we expect. I read these words with the younger people earlier from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence that we have towards him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And it's not too difficult to follow the train of thought there. If whatever we ask according to his will, he will give us. But if we ask us of things that are not according to his will, he won't give them to us. I was in the church I grew up in. I often heard that there's three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and later. And we never know if it's a no or a later. Sometimes we know when the prayer has been answered with a yes. We can bring our requests to God. And finally, in the what can we pray about section, we should pray that we will recognize his will. Verse 10 said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, as it is in heaven. And as I said earlier, to pray that God's will be done is actually quite an intimidating thing. Even if you look back through scripture at the things that were done in God's will, if you look through some of those early apostles, if you look through some of the missionaries of the last couple of centuries, the things that have been done according to God's will are terrifying. Where may he send you? Where may that prayer lead? But we should still pray it because we should still have a desire to be submitting ourselves to God's will. Ellie is speaking on prayer this morning with Alice actually, but with the younger people. And she made a bookmark there was a spare one in the study. And it kind of sums up the themes of the Lord's Prayer as adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication, praise, saying I'm sorry, thank you and saying please. Apparently, Ken Busby used to say the same thing, Robin told me this morning when he saw this on the desk. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication. Four important aspects of our prayer. I'm sure many of you have heard of that before. When do we pray? When should we pray? Well, the answer is clear, isn't it? We should pray without ceasing. We should continue in prayer. I'm not going to turn to it, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. That's quite a difficult thing to stomach. We can't physically be in prayer. We can't go and lock ourselves in our room and sit on our knees for 24 hours of every day. But we should have a nature of praying all the time. Whenever something good happens, who should we turn to first to give thanks? We should turn to God. Whenever we're struggling with something, who should we turn to first? We should turn to God for help. Time and time again, once I remember to do that, everything becomes clearer. And prayer is a wonderful thing. I hope that's been helpful in some way. I'd like to finish with a few applications or suggestions, very practical ideas for how you can foster this pray without ceasing attitude. It's praying all the time. And these may be things that you think of and you may leave this morning thinking, well, I haven't heard anything new there. Thanks, Tom. That was a wonderful time. But I hope that something may help. The first thing that people often do is to set times to pray. It can be at the morning, it can be in the evening, and it could be at lunchtime. But I think we shouldn't rely on those times. Those times don't make us a better Christian or make us more right with God to say, I pray for an hour in the morning. And I think we have to find the times that suit us. I once heard that someone had the goodness of their heart said that we should always pray in the morning, and you should spend time praying in the morning and this. But I, particularly since I've had children, I've found that the mornings are an incredibly hectic time. And if I try and sit down and pray, someone interrupts me. And personally, I just can't wake up. And I know that I should probably pray for more strength of waking up. But the mornings have never been a good time for me to pray, particularly now with children. But I still set times of the day to try and pray. But as I say, we can't rely on them, and sometimes they will be interrupted. But we should make a focused effort to pray regularly. We can use alarms on our phones to pray. I read a book a few years ago on prayer, and there was some of the bits I didn't agree with, but one thing that stuck out at me was the person that wrote the book set an alarm for midday every day, and all he did at midday was pray the Lord's Prayer. He prayed it with meaning. It wasn't a vain repetition. But what he said happened is that he remembered from the busyness of the morning, it was a break, and it reminded him to come back to God in prayer. And often that Lord's Prayer would lead into a longer time of prayer. And I have done that. I tried it, and my alarm still goes off at 1:10, and I always still think, why is my phone ringing? But it brings me back to remind me to pray at that time. It might be that putting stickers on the kettle to remind you to pray every time you make a cup of tea might help, and that may sound twee, but it can be a very useful thing. And we have loads of other things, don't we? We sometimes put our monthly prayer points on the PrayerMate app. And there's an app on phones and iPads, and it's a wonderful thing. And you can share prayer requests with people. You can follow Open Doors or GBM or EMF and get prayer points daily delivered to your phone. PrayerMate is a wonderful thing. These books, Five Things to Pray for Your Church, there's about eight of them. Five Things to Pray for the People You Love, go through a day and they give you five suggestions each day of how to pray for someone you love. And they can be a wonderful blessing. For those times where we sit down and we think, I just don't know what to pray for today. Having a resource there just to guide us through prayer. Or how about scripture, just to guide us through prayer. Pray through a psalm. One of the biggest things that can get in the way is distraction and not knowing what to pray for. We have loads of things that we can find out what to pray for through books, through computer apps, through prayer diaries. Distractions, I'm not one to teach you how not to be distracted. I'm probably the most guilty. Probably for me, it's put my phone as far away as I possibly can from where I seek to go and spend time with the Lord in prayer. I hope in some way that this morning's been helpful. I think that may be the end of our Why We Do What We Do series. There may be one more, but not next week. But I hope it's been useful, and I hope just some of these basics and coming back to some of the basics has been useful. Prayer is a wonderful thing, but it's probably not always the most used resource that we have, considering what it is. It's entirely free. It's entirely reliable. We should have a desire to pray without ceasing, to be in God's presence every day and to submit ourselves to His will. And with that, I finish. I don't think I can finish by doing anything else but pray. So thank you, Simon. Father God, I just thank you for this time that we've had together this morning. I thank you for the wonderful gift of prayer. Help us to use it. We have opportunity here as part of the church. And Lord, I just thank you that we can pray together. I thank you that it doesn't matter how eloquent or intelligent or long our prayers are. I thank you that we are merely conversing with our Father in heaven. Lord, we give you our praise. We give you our adoration. And Lord, we thank you that you do forgive us. Lord, I thank you that you give us so many wonderful things. And I just pray that you will go before us this week and help us to have a greater desire to pray more, not just for the sake of it, but to spend time in your presence, in your wonderful name. Amen.